First of all, he says, praising Allah in all conditions. Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. In all conditions, whether they are happy or sad, good or bad, up or down. And it's very interesting, but sometimes this very simple statement is very difficult to do. For example, when we are happy, we forget to praise Allah. And sometimes when we are sad, we forget to praise Allah. But as far as Imam Al-Baqir teaches us, we should praise Allah in all conditions. And second, he says, treat the people with justice. It is easy to treat good people with justice, but it is difficult to treat bad people with justice. Regardless of whether they are good or bad, people should be treated with justice. And finally, giving the friend money. If we have money and we are capable of giving money, we should give money to our close friends when they are in need. Beautiful words brought to us in this dialogue by Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
The Ahlul Bayt's ethos was intellectual academic discourses which are based on a calm approach. The moment it gets physical, the moment it gets violence, that is not acceptable. Yes, we live, alhamdulillah, in a relatively free society in the sense that people are able to express their opinions and comments. Yes, but as followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we must not be able to allow our anger overtake us and just for the sake of the argument be able to somehow lose our cool. Yes, and that is why when we remember our fifth imam, we remember an important part of the recommendations of the fifth imam, which I would like to narrate for you in this regard, which he gave to his famous companion Jabir al-Ju'fi. He told him, the fifth imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, to him, I'm going to give you tips. Imam al-Baqir says, things, remember them. In ظُلِمْتَ فَلَا تَظْلُمْ. If you are oppressed, don't oppress. Imam says, don't reciprocate injustice with injustice. Yes. Be the one who acts with righteousness, even though you are wronged.
Thank you very much, dear friends, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام میگذاره همه این ارزش ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali عليه الصلاة والسلام, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and I'm your host, Mahdi. We're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother, I'm Muhammad. And today, I'm going to read to you an aphorism of Imam Ali from Nahjul Balagha. Before that, let's go ahead and listen to the Arabic words, and after that, I'm going to read you the English translation. Stay with us.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام وقال عليه السلام في قوله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان العدل الإنصاف والإحسان التفضل
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said about Allah saying in the Quran, chapter 16, verse 90, Verily, Allah enjoins justice, adl, and benevolence, ihsan. Here, adl means equidistribution, and ihsan means favor.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, one of the profound lessons which we learn from Imam Ali alayhi salam is that truly the Ahl al-Bayt are the teachers and the ones who are the most knowledgeable about the jurisprudence, the fiqh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Imam Ali's scientific supremacy is based upon the fact that the fundamentals of all sciences go back to him, as this has been discussed in many different books by many different authors, Muslim and non-Muslim. It has been stated in these books that truly the fountainhead of many of the sciences goes back to Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali laid down the foundations of religion, specifically speaking. He expressed the principal rules of the Sharia, the divine law, the religious law commanded and handed over to humanity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali also established the rational and transmitted sciences. Now, as far as jurisprudence, obviously the very fundamentals of fiqh are attributed to Imam Ali, as both Sunni and Shia scholars, as well as Muslim and non-Muslim scholars, have unanimously agreed. It is interesting, but all jurisprudence refer to Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him, in problems related to fiqh. And so, dear friends, we learn that if we want to see what truly is the divine Sharia, the divine religious law, the commandments handed down to humanity from Allah, then we should turn to none other than Imam Ali alayhi salam. For as unanimously agreed, again by Muslim and non-Muslim scholars such as George Jordag, we will find that they consider Imam Ali alayhi salam to be the root for jurisprudence, to be at the head of jurisprudence. And why not so? For the jurisprudence and the fiqh of Ali is truly the fiqh of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the fiqh, jurisprudence of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, was handed down to him directly by Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise. A beautiful and profound lesson given to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
You for the protection of the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil.
يقول يا ليتني
And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, "Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger." And I ask you for protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks, so they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet. And I ask you for protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajabali.
Muawiyah would never have taken that governorship, nor his brother, nor his generation, if people would have listened to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. We are sad about it, but we are also blessed with it. Because as sad as the situation is, Allah's victory is guaranteed. إِنَّ فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah is saying to the Prophet, success is guaranteed for you, and we will protect every accusation against you which was past and the future. So don't worry. Karbala took place, don't worry. Imam Ali was martyred, don't worry. Our imams were persecuted, don't worry. All our imams, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was met with Walid, who came as a governor in Medina, he says, "I threaten you. You give the bay'ah to Yazid." Imam says, "Do you threaten me? Do you know who I am?" We imams have made a covenant with Allah. We have made a covenant to give our lives. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You think we're afraid of you? We're not afraid of you. Imam Hussein says, "إِنْ كَانَ دِينُ مُحَمَّدٍ لَمْ يَسْتَقِمْ إِلَّا بِقَتْلِي فَيَا صُيُوفُ خُذِينِ." If this religion of the Holy Prophet cannot stand on its right path except by my death, then all swords come and get me. We are not afraid. Look at today. Who are the most feared people in the world today? Who are the ones who have all the armaments? Who are the ones who have all the tape recorders and the machineries to watch us? They've got infiltrators, they've got spies everywhere. You can't utter a word. Certain words have been made taboo. Don't mention it. There will come a time for us even to do salah will become difficult, because it will show our true quality. Who is my close companion who is ready to die? Many imams say it. Imam in fact used to whisper to some people, "By the way, Muawiyah will become Khalifa. Muawiyah will be very powerful." And people ask, why did Imam Ali mention that to some people? He was warning them that though you may love me, if you don't have a heart to come near me, don't. Keep aside. Because Muawiyah will grab you tomorrow, and he will torture your whole family, mafia style.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
In the limelight.
Under U.S. law, Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, as he is widely known, ought to be banned from travel to the United States and subjected to an asset freeze. That President Biden has chosen not to pursue that course suggests that the fundamental change he promised in U.S.-Saudi relations will not include holding to account its reckless ruler, who consequently is unlikely to be deterred from further criminal behavior. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by John Quilly Ryder. This article is published under the heading, "This Will Embolden the Murderous Prince." Biden rebuked for letting MBS off hook for butchering of Khashoggi. Here's more. U.S. President Joe Biden came under fire from political leaders and human rights defenders worldwide over the weekend for failing to directly sanction or rebuke Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman over the brutal assassination of journalist Jamal Khashoggi by a Saudi government hit squad in 2018. "Mohammed bin Salman is guilty of murder," wrote the editorial board of the Washington Post, where Khashoggi worked. "Biden should not give him a pass," the editorial added. That heinous crime against a permanent U.S. resident and contributing columnist to the Post should not go unpunished. Under U.S. law, Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, as he is widely known, ought to be banned from travel to the United States and subjected to an asset freeze. That President Biden has chosen not to pursue that course suggests that the fundamental change he promised in U.S.-Saudi relations will not include holding to account its reckless ruler, who consequently is unlikely to be deterred from ruler criminal behavior. Appearing on CNN's State of the Union recently, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki defended the Biden administration's decision despite the gruesome murder and the findings of the U.S. intelligence report to withhold even a wrist slap from MBS. "Even in recent history, Democratic and Republican administrations, there have not been sanctions put in place for the leaders or foreign governments where we have diplomatic relations, and even where we don't have diplomatic relations," Psaki told CNN. Psaki said the administration believes there are more effective ways to make sure this doesn't happen again, and also to be able to leave room to work with the Saudis on areas where there is mutual agreement, where there is national interest for the United States. But critics say this is a grave mistake, and that some form of accountability or sanctions should be aimed directly at Mohammed bin Salman. With the release of the U.S. report confirming Saudi officials' culpability at the highest levels, the United States should now take the lead in ensuring accountability for this crime and for setting in place the international mechanisms to prevent and punish such acts in the future. Agnes Callamard, the UN Special Rapporteur on Extrajudicial Summary or Arbitrary Execution, said recently. Specifically, Callamard called on the Biden administration to impose sanctions against the Crown Prince, as it has done for the other perpetrators, targeting his personal assets, but also his international engagements. David Harst, co-founder and editor-in-chief of the Middle East Eye, warned in a column recently that Biden is sending a nothing less than chilling message to the Saudis and the world by taking a hands-off approach to the Crown Prince. This will embolden the murderous prince more than anything his friends in Trump or Pompeo could have done, wrote Harst. It means he can get away with doing the same thing again and again. The United States should stand consistently for human rights and human dignity around the world, not just when it's convenient. Representative Ilhan Omar said, "The Saudi prince will not, in no doubt, vary his means of conducting his terror campaign against anyone who speaks out against him, but whatever he does, he now knows he cannot be punished because America, even under an administration that is hostile to him, will just not allow it." Democrats in Congress also expressed frustration as they called for true accountability. "What was already apparent is now unmistakable," said Representative Ilhan Omar. "MBS and the Saudi regime are directly responsible for the murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi and must be held accountable." Omar said she intends to introduce a bill in the coming days to place sanctions on MBS, both for Khashoggi murder as well as other well-documented human rights abuses. "The United States," said Omar, "should stand consistently for human rights and human dignity around the world, not just when it's convenient." Representative Andy Kim, a member of the House Foreign Relations Committee, tweeted, "The lack of action against the Crown Prince sends a clear message across the globe that those at the top can escape consequences." Following release of U.S. report, the Committee to Protect Journalists called for a strong response from the White House and other global leaders. The U.S. and its allies, said CPJ senior West Asia-North Africa region researcher Justin Shillad, should sanction the Crown Prince and other royal court members to show the world that there are tangible consequences for assassinating journalists, no matter who you are. Meanwhile, the Society for Professional Journalists said it was outraged that those chiefly responsible for Khashoggi's murder have been insulted from accountability, even as it welcomed promises from the Biden administration that a range of actions remain on the table. "We hope," said Matthew T. Hall, SPJ national president, "the president chooses one quickly and decisively to send a message to Saudi Arabian leaders and people everywhere that the killing of a journalist is unacceptable anywhere on this planet."
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
Axel Jawadi talks about the various keys of life and has brought about this book to be a companion for the very famous Mafatih al-Jiran, where one is a tool or the keys for paradise, and this book, of course, are the keys of life.
The Keys of Life, a program designed to tell you that what Islam gives you will help get you home with joy and faithfulness. So, well, listen to
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. My name is Sheikh Zayd Al Salami. A few years ago, I started the course of wanting to commentate on a very important book that I believe is something that would be useful for everyone who reads it, and that is the book Mafatih Al Hayat, written by Ayatollah Al-Uzma Al-Sheikh Jawadi Amuli. We're up to chapter 6, which is the chapter of the etiquette of eating and drinking. We were talking about the adab, the etiquette, the mannerism of eating, and we mentioned a variety of things that need to be taken into consideration by a mu'min, a mu'minah, in regards to what it is that we should do when it does come to dealing with food, when treating food, when being in the presence of food. Next adab, next etiquette is for you to sit simply, sit with humbleness. Hadiths say that you shouldn't sit with your legs crossed. You should sit in such a way as is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, jalsatul abd. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, إِذَا جَلَسَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَلَى الطَّعَامِ فَلْيَجْلُسْ جَلْسَةَ الْعَبْدِ. Jalsatul abd is basically with having one knee in front of you and one knee towards your chest, which is the jalsa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi when it comes to eating. This is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet when it comes to eating. And this is Jalsatul Abd. It's called Jalsatul Abd. Now, there's also some ahadith that say that you should be leaning on your, a little bit on your left, for example, and other things like that, which is, you know, also discussed in certain books. Make sure that you are eating calmly, you're eating slowly, you don't hasten in your food. Make sure that you chew your food. And there are many ahadith that talk specifically about chewing your foods in certain ways. A very interesting hadith says that another reason why you should be eating slowly, besides the fact of it being good for your digestive system and things like that, is that when you are sitting with others on a sufra, on ma'idatul ta'am, this will be a time that you will not be accountable for. So this time, this duration that you are sitting, you're not going to be accountable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is really, really interesting. You know, Imam Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi, says, "Atilul julus," prolong your sitting down on the table of food, ala al-ma'idah, fa'innaha sa'atun la tuhsab min a'marikum, because this is will be a time that will not be counted from among your life, which is interesting indeed. If you are invited, accept the invitation. If you have been asked to eat with someone, it is wrong for you to reject. Accept the invitation. How about if you have not been invited? Then you should not be putting the host in a situation and knowing that you weren't invited, but you turn up anyway. You know, that's, of course, a bad thing, a negative thing.
Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, the author of the book Mafatih al-Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes.
یه جلدش هی مفاتیح الجنان است چه فرون دماغ و ثواب داره فرون روزون است.
One volume, the present volume, مفاتیح الجنان, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فرون درخت کاری اینجور کم ثواب داره. دعا هم داره، سوا هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که اینو گفته بودم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره، همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
The Holy Prophet says, Ya Ali, ثمانيةٌ إن أهينوا فلا يلوموا إلا أنفسهم. There are 8 kind of people where if they were insulted, they can't blame anyone other than themselves. الذاهب إلى مائدة لم يدعى إليها. Someone who goes to an invitation that they were not invited to, you know, if they are insulted, then they should not blame anyone other than themselves. Then we have the interesting ahadith that are focused, and these come from Imam al-Ridha, salamullahi alayhi. And, you know, if you do go back to the traditions from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, salamullahi alayhi, you'll see a lot of them are related to food and tibbul, Imam, the medicine of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, as far as eating and drinking and things like that. Here, Imam Ridha, peace be upon him, talks about how important it is for there to be vegetables with the food. So when you're eating, and you're eating as a group, and you're eating with others, always make sure that there are vegetables and greens with the food. He says, خَضِّرُوا مَوَائِدَكُمْ بِالْبَقْلِ فَإِنَّهُ مَطْرَدَةٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ مَعَ الْتَسْمِيَةِ. Make sure that you put greens with your table spread, with your ma'idah, because they are ways of expelling shaitan, along with you saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Another hadith from Imam Ridha, peace be upon him, where he says, Ya ghulam, O son, أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنِّي لَا أَأْكُلْ عَلَى مَائِدَةٍ لَيْسَ عَلَيْهَا خَضْرًا. Do you not know that I don't eat from a table spread that doesn't have vegetables and greens on it? فَأْتِ بِهَا. So bring something, bring them. قَالْ فَذَهَبَ وَأَتَى بِالْبَقَلِي فَمَدَّ يَدَهُ فَأَكَلَ وَأَكَلْتُ مَعَهُ. So then the person went and got some, and then Imam Ridha alayhi salam ate, started to eat, and I started eating with him. You know, just remember what we were talking about as far as, you know, this whole issue of ma'a al-tasmiyah and saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and ma'idatu al-ta'am and all these other good things as far as the issue of health is concerned. All of this is related and intertwined to it, as far as your qalb is concerned, as far as your heart is concerned, and everything else. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams, hear the children's screams.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time. Memories fade like a dusty window pane, and you can't see your past no more. The only thing that remains is that feeling of warmth in your heart that will always be there, be there.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge. We have been discussing about the qualities of the pious people based on the sermon number 184 in Nahj al-Balagha. Of course, according to other counts, it is sermon number 192 or 93 also. It is famously known as the sermon of the pious people. In this sermon, Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions about the various different qualities that a pious person needs to have. One of those qualities that he mentions is a pious person controls his food intake. He says mazuran aklu, that means his eating is controlled and it is less rather. And in this, of course, we discussed about some of the narrations that talk about the dangers, the physical and spiritual dangers of gluttony. And we saw that how gluttony actually takes you away from spirituality and from coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rather controlling it and having a controlled diet whereby a person does not transgress his limits and does not, you know, overeat. Rather, even tries his best to be meager in his eating. It will really create an effect in his heart and in his soul and in his existence, of course, by keeping in mind the recommendations of the health practitioners.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, we reached the discussion of controlling our food intake. But now, one of the important discussions that come up here is what are the practical methods of avoiding overeating? What do we do? Because there are people who have tried their best to stop overeating, but unfortunately, they end up overeating. It is a common problem, and it needs, of course, some practical solutions. One of the very good practical solutions is basically the mustahabbat, or the recommended practices that are there in the Sharia. There are very many recommended practices that actually help a person control their food intake and rather avoid overeating. So, for example, in the narrations we have that a person should chew 40 times. Let's say 40 could be an allusion towards a good number of times. To chew the food properly until it is ground nicely and then swallowing the food. Unfortunately, in some people you'll see the practice is just gobbling the food rather, and like taking up large morsels that enter into the stomach while they are still formed, like they haven't yet been ground at all. I'm not saying that we should chew the food until it becomes completely fluid and liquid. We don't say that. I mean, but chewing the food itself has a lot of benefits scientifically. It allows the saliva to act on the food. When the food enters the stomach, also the enzymes can easily work on the food, and the digestion process also increases. So there are various benefits of eating food while chewing the food, basically. This is one example of the recommended acts that we have in the Sharia.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Another example of a recommended act that would help control the food intake and rather control gluttony would be the issue of eating. When you eat with your, let's say, with your hand, it is recommended that you use 3 fingers or 4 fingers. That means your morsels have to be little, they have to be small. They don't have to be large morsels. Okay, for example, some people, when they eat with their hands, they eat with the whole palm. Like they take the whole right palm and they put it inside the food, and like they have a whole palm full of, a handful of food, and they put it inside their mouths. Okay, this is not recommended. Basically, you're supposed to take small morsels. Now, you've noticed all these processes are there to kind of increase the amount of time you take to eat the food, right? To eat a small amount of food, but at a slower pace of time. And therefore, it allows the mind and the brain to get acquainted with the fact that there is food in the stomach. Scientifically speaking, when already the stomach is full, the message of whether the stomach is full or not is sent, like it's felt a bit later than when the stomach is already full, when the appetite is already killed. See? So normally what happens is people, when they're eating fast and they're eating very quickly and they're not concentrating and they're not chewing their food, a very large amount of food enters their stomach and they still feel that they are hungry. Rather, they are not hungry. But if they take their time and they control that urge to eat quickly, you will notice that they will have greater control over their food. You see, scientifically also, psychologically speaking, when you want to control and you want to win, or you want to, have victory over a large thing, you need to start having victory, tasting victory in small, small paces. Even, for example, when you have a large task to do, let's say you have to clean up the whole house, right? So you might look at your home and see, oh my God, everything is out of place here. But what you do is that you take small steps. So you say, okay, right now I'm just going to clean, let's say I'm going to pick up the toys, or let's say I'm going to pick up the clothes, or I'll pick up the clothes that are, let's say, on this side of the room. So I put small objectives in my mind, and after you accomplish one of your objectives, you feel good about it, and then it increases like that. So basically, when a person, eats in small morsels and continues to chew his food and takes his time, he's giving himself the opportunity to slowly get his body to get acquainted to controlling of that desire, and therefore have control over their food intake. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to apply some of the teachings of Islam so that we can achieve fighting over and winning over the vice of gluttony. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
In the limelight.
In just a matter of weeks, two variants of the coronavirus have become so familiar that you can hear their inscrutable alphanumeric names regularly uttered on television news. The B.1.1.7, first identified in Britain, has demonstrated the power to spread far and fast. In South Africa, a mutant called B1351 can dodge human antibodies, blunting the effectiveness of some vaccines. The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times journalist Carl Zimmer. The piece is titled, Virus Variant in Brazil Infected Many Who Had Already Recovered from COVID-19. Stay with us for more of Carl Zimmer's article. In just a matter of weeks, two variants of the coronavirus have become so familiar that you can hear their inscrutable alphanumeric names regularly uttered on television news. The B.1.1.7, first identified in Britain, has demonstrated the power to spread far and fast. In South Africa, a mutant called B.1.351 can dodge human antibodies, blunting the effectiveness of some vaccines. Scientists have also had their eye on a third concerning variant that arose in Brazil, called the P1. Research has been slower on P1 since its discovery in late December, leaving scientists unsure of just how much to worry about it. I've been holding my breath, said Bronwyn McInnes, an epidemiologist at the Broad Institute. Now, three studies offer a sobering history of P1's meteoric rise in the Amazonian city of Manaus in Brazil. It likely arose there in November and then fueled a record-breaking spike of coronavirus cases. It came to dominate the city due in part to an increased contagiousness, the research found, but it also gained the ability to infect some people who had immunity from previous bouts of COVID-19. And laboratory experiments suggest that P1 could weaken the protective effect of a Chinese vaccine now in use in Brazil. The new studies have yet to be published in scientific journals. Their authors caution that findings on cells in laboratories do not always translate into the real world, and they've only begun to understand P1's behavior. The findings apply to Manaus in Brazil, but I don't know if they apply to other places, said Nuno Faria, a virologist at Imperial College, University of London, who helped lead much of the new research. But even with the mysteries that remain around P1, Experts say it is a variant to take seriously. It's right to be worried about P1, and this data gives us the reason why, said William Hanage, an epidemiologist at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. P1 is now spreading across the rest of Brazil and has been found in 24 other countries. In the United States, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has recorded 6 cases in 5 states, namely Alaska, Florida, Maryland, Minnesota, and Oklahoma. To reduce the risk of P1 outbreaks and reinfections, Dr. Faria says, it was important to double down on every measure we have to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Wearing face masks and social distancing can work against P1, and vaccination can help drive down its transmission and protect those who do not infect or who do get infected from severe disease. The ultimate message is that you need to step up all the vaccination efforts as soon as possible, he said. You need to be one step ahead of the virus. Dr. Nuno Faria and his colleagues started tracking the coronavirus when it exploded in Brazil last spring. Manaus, a city of 2 million people in the Brazilian Amazon, was hit particularly hard. As its springtime peak, the cemeteries of Manaus were overwhelmed by the bodies of the dead. But after a peak in late April, Manaus seemed to have gotten past the worst of the pandemic. Some scientists thought that the drop meant Manaus had gained herd immunity. Dr. Faria and his colleagues looked for coronavirus antibodies in samples from a Manaus blood bank in June and October. They determined that roughly 3/4 of the residents of the city of Manaus had been infected. But near the end of 2020, new cases began surging again in Manaus. There were actually far more cases than in the previous peak of cases, which had been in late April, Dr. Faria said. And that was very puzzling to us. Dr. Faria and his colleagues wondered if new variants might be partly to blame for the resurgence. In Britain, researchers were finding that the B117 was surging across the country. To search for variants of the coronavirus, Dr. Faria and his colleagues launched a new genome sequencing effort in the city. Whilst the B117 had arrived in other parts of Brazil, they didn't find it in the city of Manaus. Instead, they found a variant no one had seen before. Many variants in their samples shared a set of 21 mutations not seen in other viruses circulating in Brazil. Dr. Faria sent a text message to a colleague. I think I'm looking at something really strange, and I'm quite worried about this. A few mutations in particular worried him, because scientists had already found these mutations in either the B117 or the B1351, the South African variant. Experiments suggested that some of the mutations might make the variants better able to infect cells. Other mutations let them evade antibodies from previous infections or produce